Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bi. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bi.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bi. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me here on the pod, reacting to a disappointing loss to the Phoenix Suns. At home again for the second time in a month and for only the third time since the All-Star break. The Nuggets lose, but they lose twice now to Phoenix coming out of the break. This was a game that, we'll just say it initially, Jamal Murray did not play, dealing with left knee inflammation that was earlier listed as an ankle. It got changed to a knee. I just figured I mentioned that because it is his surgically repaired left ACL that he had that surgery on. It is that knee. So it's just something to watch. I don't think it's anything major, or else we would not have seen him in pregame showing off those chocolate New Balances and going through his entire workout. So I don't think it's anything serious, but I just assumed he was playing, you guys. Like, he didn't play against Portland on Friday night, didn't play against Memphis. He's had a week off. And to not play Phoenix, that is kind of weird. Now, if it was Minnesota, would he have played? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But they're certainly a different team without Jamal. But that being said, Jamal being the Nuggets' second best player, we saw Phoenix come into Denver here within the last month without Devin Booker and win outright as well. And really control most of that game earlier in the season, just a couple weeks ago. So I will tell you, and we'll talk about some of the stuff within the game here, but the Phoenix Suns are firmly on my radar. They really are as a legitimate threat to Denver. Now, do I think they could beat Denver four times in a two-week period? Ultimately, no, I don't believe that. In my heart of hearts, I think the Denver Nuggets are going to go win a championship, and Phoenix is not going to beat them four times in a 14-day period. But do I think they could beat them three times? I think they could. I mean, this has potential to be, if these two teams met up in the playoffs, and we'll see how it all shakes out here over the last nine games of the season and with the play and stuff, how does Phoenix finish? Every game they're playing for the remainder of the way, they're playing a winning team, a playoff team. So don't know how it's going to shake out. But when they are right, that is a lot of firepower. That is a lot of firepower. And what's concerning is I'm referencing the firepower, and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal went 8 of 28 on Wednesday night. They went 8 of 28. They struggled, and they still came into Denver and won. So on a night where they didn't have Yusef Nurkic, who plays Jokic as good as anyone plays him in the NBA. So it's like, am I just as bullish on Denver to win it all as I was when I woke up yesterday morning? Yeah, for sure, I am. But I'm putting another layer of respect on Phoenix, all right? And why I remain so bullish, despite adding up some of the factors that I just did, is that I did not believe the Nuggets had the requisite competitive spirit to beat Phoenix, even at home, even without Nurkic. They were not ready for 12 rounds of fistfight. Now they'd pop up for a round or two, and then they'd kind of go back to the corner and be missing their competitive fire. That fire in your belly when they came out of the corner for the next round. It was just an inconsistent, disjointed effort, a game from an effort standpoint. And look, when you have a team that's desperate like Phoenix, who's got to win games just anyway for the standings with such little time left, and they're coming off a horrible loss to the San Antonio Spurs. It was one of those weird back-to-back games, both against the Spurs, both in San Antonio. They win by like 25 the one night, and then they lose without Victor Wembanyama. And they have this long film session and come to Jesus stuff, and they come out, and you know, you knew they were, you were getting their best shot. And anything less than your best from a hard work ethic standpoint and competitive spirit standpoint, you were going to be up against it. And that's exactly what happened. So then you add in the factors of, you know, Denver going 10 of 40 from three. That is putrid. It really is. And you look at just up and down the Nuggets lineup. It's 1 for 3 from Aaron Gordon, 2 for 7 from Michael Porter Jr., 1 for 5 for Jokic, 1 for 7 from Reggie Jackson. Whew. KCP, 3 for 6, but I think all three of those came in the first quarter. I mean, the first couple minutes for KCP, he was brilliant. I mean, in his bag stuff, like step back, sidestep threes, where they were taking away the action that he was looking for. He's like, okay, I got this. But not enough there moving forward. And then, you know, the bench was horrible. I mean, 15 points total from the Denver Nuggets bench, scoring wise. And more than half of those was from Colin Gillespie, you know, who ultimately, you know, went in a shell, in the second half. He made some shots early, but had some ugly moments, smoked a layup, just blew it on the breakaway, the air ball, the three that was a big possession within the game. So, It was just not good. It was just not good across the board. I can't point to any Denver Nugget and say, yeah, that guy played well. Yeah, you know, tough night, but that guy played really well. And you know, I'll start with the head of the snake, because it's the guy that gets the most credit, and he deserves most credit, and that's Nikola Jokic, who I'm going on and on about on Tuesday. And here we are on Thursday, and I look at the performance, I'm like, I wish he had been more demonstrative and aggressive. Jokic, it's, Nurkic, it's, you know, who the hell was guarding him? Drew Ebanks. It's like, you could murder this dude, murder him. And he just chose not to. And yeah, they were, you know, Phoenix, and I got to give him credit, they did a great job of shrinking the floor and sending doubles at Jokic, but the doubles that he was getting, those are double cheeseburgers if he wants to eat, you know, and we've seen that. And he just lacked that other gear of, I'm not letting us lose tonight. And maybe that was calculated. Maybe it's like, hey, you guys have to do this with me. And if you watch the game, I'm sure you remember the possession. It's Colin Gillespie out in the wing. He passes it in the yoke. Yoke snaps it back out to Colin. Colin gives it right back to Yoke. And Yoke's like, dude, shoot it. And it throws it back out there. And it's like, it was that possession was a microcosm, because Colin's like, go ahead, MVP, like, please. And Jokic was just, he was a reluctant scorer. That's what it felt like. And yeah, maybe he was taking what the a defense gave him, but I think he could have found a more aggressive gear, and how that would have changed things and had a ripple effect on the game. I think it would have been real and legitimate. So that didn't go great. But I go back to Phoenix, man. They did a really good job defensively. They did. And rotating out of the double team when Jokic would, you know, get it out, and they did a great job. Give them credit. Give them credit. They played fantastic. They played desperate. And I have been saying the same phrase on the air here in Denver for 7 years, and long before that back in upstate New York. And the phrase is, there is only one version of being starving, and that's to actually be starving. You cannot manufacture starving like hunger. Okay, you can talk yourself into it. You can look yourself in the mirror and try to get up for it. But there is nothing, there is no sense of urgency like natural fight or flight. And that's what Phoenix had last night. And it was just lacking with the Denver Nuggets. I don't know how else to look at it, truthfully. Some other stuff here from the game. Rebounding was a problem. Scoring was a problem. Rebounding was a problem. The rotations were a problem. The bench was a problem. When you don't score 100 points at home against a team like Phoenix, like, what do you think of when you think of Phoenix? how long of a list do you get before you get to lock down defensively? I mean, that's just not who they are. And to score 97 points, that was ugly. But being out-rebounded by 13 against Phoenix, it's, look, I mean, you're just not going to get out-rebounded by double figures and think you're going to win. It's just not how it goes. It's happened five times this year where they've been out-rebounded by 10 boards or more, and they're 1-4 in those five games. They couldn't shoot it from three, 10 of 40. They almost played into Phoenix's hand a little bit too much. The Nuggets average 31 threes a game, and they get up to 40. And again, I think a part of that was the way Phoenix packed it in. And you think of how the Nuggets want to play. Guys, you know, slashing and cutting and Jokic finding people. Well, when you don't have like a natural creator like Jamal out there, and Jokic is the creator, and they're packing it in, it's like you've got to take some of those open threes. That's the thing here I want to say. A lot of those threes were great looks that if you just isolate them like on an iPad and you hand them to someone that didn't watch the game and say, is that a good shot? And they'd say, absolutely. So it's not like they were taking bad threes. They got great looks. They just didn't hit them. And, you know, eventually that snowballs on itself. And then what happens is you're missing the organic nature of how Denver plays because they become stagnant. It becomes Jokic with the ball and a bunch of people standing around. Does that make sense, adding it all up like that? And it's now, you know, and typically if Jamal's out there, it's like you have another guy that can go downhill, can create off the dribble and make his way to the rim. If that's not happening from a secondary source other than Jokic, and obviously they're doing it differently, but I'm talking about just in terms of being a creator, that's what it looks like, a stagnant, one-dimensional offense. So let's keep our eye on that dynamic here, like just structurally, not just from Phoenix, from teams moving forward, and maybe we'll see it in the playoffs as well. And it's going to be incumbent upon Denver if that's going to be stylistically how teams are going to try to play them. And obviously it's going to change with Jamal's back, but guys are going to have to make shots, period. All right. Kevin Durant was great. I mean, there was moments where it's like, is that 27-year-old Kevin Durant or 37-year-old Kevin Durant? Some tough shots, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks. First time he's got the 5 blocks since 2019. no one has had a stat line like that for Phoenix, 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 blocks since 1993. Bill Clinton just took office. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, that's a long time ago. Durant was great, though. And the last time a Nuggets opponent, and I should be giving credit for this, but my producer sent it in an email just for our radio show, and I'm sure he found it somewhere on social media, so I apologize. But the last time, because I do want to give credit if someone did the work and found this, but the last time a Nuggets opponent had those numbers in a regulation game, the 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 blocks, was Tim Duncan back in 2012, over a decade ago. So, look, those are kind of my takeaways from the game. And you look at the health, it's starting to creep into my mind that, not creep in because it's already been there, we've talked about it, but this team has got to be healthy. That's the number one priority. And it feels like, you know, what's, I guess, creeping to the forefront of my mind is that nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Comparatively speaking to the health of the team. And when you look at, I believe Matt Moore had this, the Nuggets are 6-9 when any of the starters are missing and they play a team over 500. There's just not a lot of margin for error. The Nuggets are different this way. You know, they don't have great depth. Their bench is helter-skelter, and they have perfect puzzle pieces with the starting lineup. And if you remove one of them, the picture that those pieces create, it's harder to see. And it's just, you know, last night was just proof positive of that. Wednesday night was just proof positive of that. So we'll see what happens on Friday. Now, this is what we're getting ready to get out of here. But Friday evening is going to be a massive, massive game, okay, against the Minnesota Timberwolves. When you look at the standings, there's a lot on the line here. There's no game moving forward that will be more impactful than this one to the number one seed. All right. Timberwolves are 50-22. The Nuggets are 51-22. The Timberwolves are 24-13 away from Minneapolis. They're really good on the road. They're just really good. There's a lot to it. Will Jamal play? My assumption is he will. And if he doesn't play in that one, my antennas are going to be so up, they're going to poke someone in the eye, okay? A silver lining is that Oklahoma City lost to the Houston Rockets, who have now won 10 in a row, believe it or not. Yes, the Houston Rockets have won 10 games in a row. Wild. So you get a little saving grace there in terms of the number one seed. Right now, Denver still holds that number one seed by a half game over both Minnesota and Oklahoma City. So Friday night's a big one, you guys. Friday night's a big one. I can't wait to watch it. All right. I hope you get a chance to do that because it's arguably the biggest regular season game so far of the season. So enjoy it, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks for a couple minutes and sharing your day with me. And whatever happens on Friday night and then over the weekend, let's just real quick before we get out of here, let's just look ahead really quick. So the Denver Nuggets will play on Friday against Minnesota, and then they'll turn around, get Saturday off, and they'll play Sunday against Cleveland, both of those games at home, and then Tuesday against San Antonio. So, all right, guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with me here. Whatever happens on Friday and then on Sunday, we'll be back here on Tuesday talking about it right here on the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Update your appliances today and save big at Mountain High Appliances Clearance Center. I'm Brad Barnett, president of Mountain High Appliance. Get unbelievable prices on refrigerators, dishwashers, washers and dryers, ranges and more. On popular brands from KitchenAid, JennAir, Bosch, Sub-Zero Wolf, and many more. Whether you're looking for new, in-a-box, discontinued, or scratch and dent, our clearance center has it all. Visit us today in Denver or online at mountainhighappliance.com.
Mountain High Appliance, your favorite appliance store.
Thank you.